Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Thursday, May 12th. Today, in the fight against climate change, local corn farmers, ranchers, and investors are joining forces with Carbon America for the state's first commercial project to sequester carbon. Before we begin, a quick message from our sponsors, the Grand Junction Economic Partnership. The Grand Junction Economic Partnership is your one-stop resource to expand your business on the Western Slope. They offer free site selection and relocation services to you and your employees when moving to Grand Junction, Fruita, Palisade, and surrounding communities in Mesa County. Visit gjep.org to get started. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this date, in 1882, residents of a nascent Jewish colony along the Upper Arkansas River threatened to kill those responsible for settling them there. Far from the paradise described by boosters, the soil at Cotopaxi in Fremont County wasn't suited for agriculture. Emmanuel Saltille, a former Confederate soldier who volunteered to join Union troops in the West after his capture, founded Cotopaxi as a mining center. He saw an opportunity to help fellow Jews fleeing Eastern Europe and worked with groups in New York City to organize a colony in his town. The 63 settlers who arrived in early May 1882 ranged from farmers to craftspeople, but they all doubted the region's ability to support them. Nevertheless, the Jewish settlers at Cotopaxi scratched out an existence in the summer of 1882. They dug a 3-mile-long canal through rock to water their fields, but meandering livestock ate the crops. All the while, the colonists retained their faith, using a small cabin in the town as a synagogue. But the limits of the land proved their downfall. And when a party of Jews investigated Cotopaxi, they found the settlers hungry, freezing, and desperate. Most colonists moved elsewhere in Colorado or across the West, and the entire colony was abandoned by 1884. Now, a quick message from our sponsors, the Colorado Education Association. The Colorado Education Association is made up of more than 39,000 educators across Colorado, all working together in a strong union to make sure students get the exceptional public schools they deserve. Learn more about CEA by visiting coloradoea.org. Next, our feature story. In the fight against climate change, local corn farmers, ranchers, and investors are joining forces with Carbon America for the state's first commercial project to sequester carbon in Colorado. How will they do it? Olivia Prentzel talks with environment reporter Michael Booth about the efforts in northeastern Colorado and how it can help drive down emissions in the years to come.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Olivia. Appreciate it.
So your story is about carbon capture, which experts say is a vital tool to combat global warming in the years to come. Could you give us a quick explainer on carbon capture, what it is, and how it's done?
Sure. And it's also controversial because one way to try to attack global warming is to cut carbon emissions sort of at the source, whether it's a smokestack or a car engine, any kind of other industrial process that creates carbon. But there are a lot of people saying that that's not going to take care of it. There are these so-called stubborn sources of carbon, whether it's a cement plant that can't easily be decarbonized, or automobiles. Obviously, it's going to take a while to transition to electrics. And so that we also need to find ways to cut greenhouse gas and global warming by storing carbon underground. At least that's the argument. And so there are places that are starting to experiment with doing that. The technology is very new and it hasn't happened. In fact, there hasn't really been a commercial size project that's gotten going in Colorado, but now we have one. So we could talk about what's happening in northeastern Colorado.
Right. So Carbon America announced what's apparently the first commercial operation to sequester large amounts of carbon in Colorado. They're partnering with Sterling Ethanol and Yuma Ethanol. How exactly do they plan on doing this?
A group of local farmers, ranchers, and investors in northeastern Colorado in 2005 built these ethanol plants, which use corn, locally produced corn, to create ethanol, which is added as a fuel cleaner and additive for cleaner burning fuel all across the country. And it produces, in the fermentation process for the corn, produces a lot of carbon emissions. And so Carbon America's idea is to capture that and then take it in a pipeline and store it underground in the same kind of formations where we've been extracting oil and gas in the Denver-Julesburg Basin. Northeastern Colorado has these formations that have been both holding petroleum, but then also once you extract the petroleum and other natural formations, you can sort of stuff stuff back underground and keep it there. And they believe that they've using some pretty basic technology can capture it and drill deep injection wells and put the carbon back underground.
And how could this help Colorado reach its goals to cut emissions?
If they are successful, they claim that they can sequester about 350,000 tons of carbon dioxide a year. And to put that in perspective for people, there are cement plants in Colorado that are some of the largest emitters of carbon that are close to 1 million tons. And then the largest emitters in Colorado are the coal-fired power plants that can get up to 4 to 5 million tons of carbon dioxide in a year. So 350,000 is actually a significant chunk. And Colorado has these goals that are set now in state law to reach reductions in carbon emissions at certain points along the way between now and 2030 and then 2050. And this is one small piece of that, but it is a significant piece of it.
And you mentioned that this is pretty new technology. Do you think this is something that we could see more of in Colorado in the future?
The people who are watching these things, who are both engineers and global warming experts and experts in how subsidies can work, are very eager to see how this one works out as a first experiment. The cement plants are working on some other kinds of technology that might do some of the same things. But yes, it could be a very important experiment for everybody to watch, and they will be drawing on some newly passed state subsidies that just this week have come into play with carbon sequestration. The state really wants people to start experimenting a lot more with it and now has some grants available to expand how it gets done.
Well, really interesting story, Michael. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks, and we'll follow up and see how it works.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A new report by the Department of Defense Office of Inspector General said Air Force officials were reasonable and followed the law when they chose Huntsville, Alabama as the permanent site of the U.S. Space Command headquarters. The report comes more than a year after Governor Jared Polis, along with Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers and more than a dozen other state legislators, called the decision to relocate the Space Command from Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs hasty and asked federal officials for a review. The Government Accountability Office also investigated the decision process, but its report hasn't been released to the public yet. More than 70% of Colorado's 1.3 million children live in counties with unhealthy levels of ozone, experts say. And that poor air quality can have lasting effects on kids who are still developing, including asthma and diminished lung development, according to the Colorado Trust. Colorado's rising temperatures can also impact children. Due to their smaller bodies having a greater surface-to-volume ratio, they are particularly susceptible to dehydration, heat stress, and heat-related fatalities. 141 horses have died from equine flu in what officials are calling the most deadly outbreak in history. One-third of the mustangs that were captured along Western Slope rangeland last summer are now dead. The Bureau of Land Management said the horses weren't vaccinated from the flu, though it is protocol, and haven't explained why they weren't. Spirit Airlines shareholders will vote next month on whether to accept a buyout offer from Frontier Airlines. If they accept the $2.9 billion offer from Frontier, they will be turning down a higher offer from JetBlue Airways, though directors fear that antitrust regulators would block a sale to JetBlue. The vote is scheduled for June 10th. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.